This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Well, great timing to have Sal on now because, Bulldog, I would say this schedule of mine is really coming together.
Oh, is there a third team?
I thought I should just leave it at one more just to keep the bit alive because it's so funny and good.
Yeah, but sure.
I kind of got rolling.
Oh, my. Oh, geez. Wow.
So I've got six or seven entries in there.
A lot there. We've got an opener at New England.
That's right.
I assume that's a Sunday night game.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, it will not be a Sunday night game.
Is it the Chiefs? Where is the Chiefs? The Chiefs right around Thanksgiving? Is that where that is?
Yeah, week before.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see Thanksgiving now on the other.
Yeah.
Bengals late. Yeah, week 17.
Christmas Day.
Oh, look at this.
Christmas Day, Cincinnati at Buffalo, 1 o'clock.
Right, don't misplace that because the schedule,
we're
a few weeks out, right?
Mid-May,
something like that, I think.
With me every day. Sal, we don't know the date yet, but he's right? Mid-May for the schedule?
Well, according to Mike North on the pod we did last week, he said, I think May 13th through 15th, somewhere in there. We do not know the date, but that's the general time frame.
I'm taking that as a win. That's mid-May to me.
Sure.
Yeah, he did say, though, that maybe one of those schedules that gets pumped out even before that, they take the commissioner he likes and they put it out earlier. So who knows?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's exciting to think about. Bengals at Bills, Christmas Day, Sal.
What is that process like? Does Mike North walk in with like a scroll of papers on like a pillow and bring it to the commissioner and then waits there, like walks up some stairs to the throne,
yes,
hands it to the commissioner, and then walks back down and stands there and waves, just like, it looks like he likes you, looks like, and the commissioner's like, oh.
Send it back.
Thanksgiving. No! And just throws the stuff at Mike North.
Send it back.
Sorry, Sal. You really didn't ask for this whole scenario to be painted. I got a little loose
there. I think it's a good question. I've wondered the same thing in a different way, which is, okay, so the commissioner, he has to approve it, right? He's the commissioner. You're going to take it. Okay, I like it. Like, I guess I never asked Mike this. Maybe I will. I can reach out to him. But has he ever looked and said, I don't like it. Go back and do it again. I don't know if that happens.
What would be the problem with it? Too many Browns games maybe would be one thing. Can you just have fewer Browns games and mix in some of the better teams a little bit more often? One thing you could do to dress this thing up. All right. Very late in yesterday's show, we had our pre-draft special. The news came down that Trey White was coming back to the Bills on a one-year deal. I know, Sal, you were going to be talking to Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore today and kind of sort of digging in on what Trey White is, so to speak, at this point. I did see maybe Doug Farrar. I did see a couple places on Twitter with the news that like he did okay for the Ravens. I mean, the Rams thing seemed to go badly. Where are you at on what you think he is as a player at this point?
Well, I didn't study him extensively, you know, last year in L.A. or in Baltimore. I could tell you that obviously in L.A. last year, we all saw some things on national TV that didn't go well for him. And he was a healthy scratch a few times with the Rams, right? It just wasn't going well. So they wound up, you know, moving on from him. And for whatever reason, you know, it wasn't a fit. He wasn't quite back to being himself yet, whatever. I even looked. I mean, he was playing a little bit of special teams, too, in L.A. It just wasn't really the spot on the roster for him. And when it was, it wasn't going well. So he goes to Baltimore. And from there, I mean, if you talk to people from Baltimore, like I did today to Jeremy Kahn, the way he put it was, there was nothing special, but nothing stood out negatively either. Like, he was just there, and he kind of did his job, and he wasn't, like, jumping off the page like, oh, my God, great plays here and there, but was nothing that made you go, oh, my God, this is terrible either, like you might have said in L.A. And I thought about it and said, well, that's kind of like what the Bills have had a little bit in guys like Dane Jackson or Levi Wallace over the years, right, which is, okay, yeah, you can win and put them on the field, and they're there, and they're never going to make these, you know, they're not really going to be difference makers for you, right? But at least they're not going to really hurt you in games necessarily. I guess you could have a play here or there. So I think that's what Jeremy's thought was on that. I will say this, guys, just from what I know and people that I've talked to, like the reason the Bills did this in part is because they believe that there was an uptick in play when he got to Baltimore. And through his time in Baltimore, from the time he got there to the end of the year, they liked what they saw and how he was trajecting. His trajectory was going up, and that's why they were comfortable in this. And you guys know I've been on here a few times, and I've mentioned that I think they would, you know, probably sign a veteran cornerback. Tre'Davious was definitely a name that I heard that I brought up. Also, Stephon Gilmore was a name I heard, and Kendall Fuller was a name I heard. So didn't know exactly where it would land. It was always a possibility. But to me, I just feel like they felt they needed to get a guy who they think can be a veteran who is going to understand their system, be able to go out there they're comfortable with, but it doesn't have to be the answer to what they need in the long run at the position. And by long run, I mean even through 2025.
Yeah. Didn't we see maybe the yesterday or the day before there was another veteran corner, former Eagle, Bradbury maybe, they had him in for a – they talked – I don't know. There was some connection there. So that was still percolating. So what do you think – does it do anything to how you feel about the importance of finding – a corner, another corner in the draft? My choice would be no. I think, you know, maybe slightly, maybe you don't need to do it at 30 as urgently if it doesn't fall the way you like and you can wait until round two. But I still think ideally they find someone to put opposite Benford and have Trey White here as a fallback depth piece.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything. In fact, I think it emboldens me even more on things that I've said to you guys. And what I've said consistently, as you guys know here over the last couple of weeks, is I think the first three picks will be defense. I think they'll go mostly heavy defensive line. I expect a cornerback to be taken, but not with the first pick. I'm in the same spot right now. I think this actually emboldens me because, to me, let's go back to the conversation we had last week, even before all this Bulldog, which is they said in their own words when they signed Larry Ogunjobi, and why did they sign Larry Ogunjobi still, despite knowing he had a 6-game suspension and Brand Bean going, well, we kind of didn't know that was going to happen until we agreed to terms, and we wouldn't assign two guys with 6-game suspensions, but
there was nobody else left.
Right. So what does that tell you? Well, they still need a defensive tackle. That wasn't the case at corner. Corner was, there are veterans out there, and we can kind of get by here, and we can bring guys in, but it doesn't mean that they're all set. They need a younger corner to be able to play. And I think that this draft still sets up, and it always has looked like this for me, where the Bills are going to concentrate mostly on defensive line early, very early, and corner, but probably wait a little bit on that. And I think now with the addition of Trey White, especially at the money that he could possibly be getting, right? I mean, this is, look at the money, and the money usually tells you a bit of a story. Like, it could be, we don't know the exact details of the base salary.
Right, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, it's pretty low, and I think, you know, you're probably looking at incentives, and that could be the way he gets to 6.8, but let's think about the fact that they already are on a hook for 4.1 last year. Like, they're counting $4.1 million for Tre'Davious White no matter what on top of his salary cap this year. For them to do that, for them to sign him to a max 6.8 tells me they think that, you know, he's good enough at least to put on the field and be able to play here for them. And, hey, who knows? Maybe he does wind up being quarterback two opposite Christian Benford. There'll be a fight for that with him and Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram right now and then whoever else comes in.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't lay that out. I mean, again, not knowing exactly what, I mean, that cap hit could be as low as what? I mean, another million on top of the 4.8, and that's the rest is all incentives. But still, my sense is they think that if they need him to play, that they'll be okay.
I think they feel that way, right? I think it remains to be seen because, we like I said, we saw earlier in last season it didn't go well, and then it started to get better. So, look, I mean, one of the things I've heard today, one of the criticisms I heard and I read is, you know, Bills fans saying, oh, my God, all they do is go back and get these older guys who played for the organization and they come back. And listen, the Bills have done that. There's no doubt. They're not unique. Every team does this. What's unique is the Bills have had the same regime for 8 years, so they have more of these guys that happens with. Right? But Kansas City has done it. They bring guys back. The Eagles have done it. They bring guys back. The Ravens have done it. They bring guys back. Teams do this all the time because they're familiar with guys. They know their system. They know what their work ethic is. It's no different than anything else we do in life. If you own a business, you've worked with somebody, you go somewhere else, or that person leaves, you might bring that person back because you know what you're getting in that person. So that's not unique to the Buffalo Bills. What is unique is the Bills have had more of those over the years because they have the same GM and head coach for 8 years, and most teams don't have that.
I think it's been covered, but for me, this is, we might want to draft a corner as early as 30.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Could easily say we need one short term and long, but the risk of having him start right away is, you know, maybe not ideal. That it's a difficult position to just, it's not running back, you know, where you just sort of step right in and excel. So I think even if they do love an option, you know, Amos or somebody at 30, they could still do it, but they'd want to be, ideally you'd want to take your time with them. It's also not quarterback where you feel like this pressure to play him right away. So this, you know, this alleviates that particular risk.
This could especially be true, Sal, if they really like the East Carolina kid coming off the ACL from September, Revell.
Yeah, that's a good point right there. Am I totally eliminating and saying there's no possible way they're taking a corner at 30? Of course not. I'm not going to sit here and do that. I don't know what their board looks like. They may have Amos or Maxwell Harrison or someone ranked 15th on their board, and suddenly they're sitting there at 30 going, oh, yeah, I mean, like, why not? We got to take this guy. There's no doubt that could happen. But I think given by what you're saying, that there's more of an urgency. There's a spot right now for a defensive tackle. Like, they draft a defensive tackle 30, he's playing, guys. Like, he's kind of a starter no matter what because they play four guys. They only have three as of right now that are eligible to play. Well, four is Zion Logue. I'm not counting him. But they're eligible to play because Larry Ogunjobi's suspension. But you're right. They certainly could do that. And I like that point, too, which is it kind of alleviates that risk if you're not, you know, pressuring him into start. I will say, though, the Bills, Brandon Bean has always been cognizant and has spoken about how, you know, there is pressure on a first rounder from the outside, and that elevates that pressure on that player. And that, you know, especially if you reach for somebody, if you're not quite the value there, that's why you don't draft for need, quote unquote, which is if you draft for need, you take a guy who's really a second round valuation that you have, but you take him in the first round, that's unfair to the player because he's going to have these expectations that you put on him, and you don't want to put those on him. So I think you have to consider all of that.
As far as the draft goes, of course, round one is Thursday night. I say, of course, because it's all we talk about. So I'm not going to forget that. Where are the Bills likely to be at in their preparation? I mean, we had visits recently. Is that all done now? Are we at the point now where nobody leaves the office for a week?
Yeah, I think I'd have to look for sure. Technically, you know, I think the visits should pretty much be done now. Look, all of their prep is done. The setting of the board is pretty much done at this point. Like, they might adjust a few things here or there based on some intel that comes in, you know, this week. But if you get to this point and you're just moving things up and down the board, then you haven't done your homework. You know, this is why you guys remember back in 2017, right? The Bills draft, and then the next day, I remember this. I wake up on Sunday morning. I was heading to the gym, and I get an alert. The Bills fired Doug Whaley and the scouting staff the day after the draft. Well, because the end of the scout season is next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's their timeline. All of the work they do for Brandon Bean, the college personnel department, that's all done already through the course of the season, college season, through the course of the bowl games and all of that. So now they're doing that. You know what happens next week? Mock drafts. Not kidding. We know this, right? Brandon Bean has said it. He's got guys on staff, and he says, okay, you are the Detroit Lions. You are the San Francisco 49ers. You are the New England Patriots. And they go through mock drafts, and they said, tell me what these teams are going to do so they can kind of now kind of predict where the board is going to be when they come into the office on Thursday.
You know, there's also – I saw an article about Carolina, which is Dan Morgan, who was in this front office, saying how he's got Eric Eager, used to be on our show a lot, went to Sumer, and then he went to Carolina's front office, and how one of Eric's jobs is sort of charting 20 – that was his number or so, media mock drafts. And he might have said that there are teams that go up to 100 on this. And, you know, hopefully that's a thing the Bills would do too, because for a long time, if not still, I think a lot of teams would have been like, just absolutely not. We know what we know, and we're, you know, we're above you. But I think it's so sophisticated now. And, you know, there's also good information that a lot of these guys, like a Daniel Jeremiah, for one, would have that I would like to think that Bean would find that useful.
No doubt. And he's told us that before. So they'll do that, you know, starting next week. And then, honestly, you know, we've talked to Brandon Bean about this. Thursday's more of a, hey, all the work is done. I'll just go to the office at night and let the draft play out. Like, it's been a day where, you know, he's gone golfing in the past, I think, and, you know, with Joe Shane when he was around and stuff like that. So the work is pretty much done, guys. Now it's just time for them to really kind of make sure everything is set. They're prepared for all scenarios and situations. You know, who knows? Maybe phone calls, right? Draft. Hey, this is where you say, you call up to pick number 25, let's say, and say, you know, just keep us in mind. You know, when it gets to your pick, there's a guy we like. If he's there, we'd like to talk with you. You're getting calls from teams behind you asking and doing the same thing. I think all of that groundwork is getting laid now. I think the Patriots did their draft press conference with the Patriots, I think so.
Yeah, yes. I saw Vrabel talking. Mike Greer with Miami has done this, and a few others have done it.
And I think one of them, can't remember if it's the Patriots or not, but they said they have like 225 guys on their board, something like that, whatever the number was. But I think that's less than gets drafted, right, overall. So, yeah, I mean, that means the rest of the guys just aren't draftable. So what do? You try to get to, if you're that team, you try to get to spots where maybe you trade seventh-round picks to get more draft picks, or you're thinking, okay, then you start assigning priority free agent guys. And a lot of that stuff gets done, you know, on Saturday as well. Once you get to Saturday, it's, okay, priority free agents, who are we going to call? Undrafted free agent, let's keep this guy in mind. Let's call his agent and say, if he doesn't get drafted, we want him to come here. So they're doing all those kinds of things.
Yeah, I just, the idea of these personnel people being in charge of different teams, I'm like imagining some Bills scout calling a Detroit radio host, hey, what are you hearing? Like, it's the opposite of the way it usually works. Like, usually the media is calling the team people for information. In this case, flip it around. Like, I'm in Buffalo. I don't know what the hell Detroit's doing. Who do I know over there? Let me call Detroit's version of Mike Shope and find out what Detroit's thinking.
Oh, you're going to love him. You're going to love
him. I know, right? Like, I've told you guys before, one day, this is years ago now, I opened up my Twitter feed, and I'm looking, I'm just like, oh, some new followers, and I look, and there was, like, this professional-looking photo, and I clicked, and it was somebody in the San Francisco 49ers front office that had followed me. I think it was before the Bills played the COVID year, because the Bills played them that year, and that's what stuck with me. Well, Bills are playing them this year, so he's just kind of following to get, you know, information about the team, you know, that year and leading up, and it makes a lot of sense. Well, guess what? That goes across the board. I mean, since then, I've kind of learned and understand that that's what they do. If you follow, you know, other media from those markets. Why wouldn't you do that? You're right. Getting information that you're gathering from what the media is saying and the mock drafts and all the reports coming out. I mean, it is big business, and that's what they're doing.
Sal, thanks for today. Have a great weekend.
Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter. Right. Yes, indeed. That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by Outlet Liquor. We need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
That point right there is probably part of why sometimes Sal just can't tell you everything that happened at practice. Because the Niners are reading them.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Are you following this Cubs game?
I am not following the Cubs. I'm following the golf, and I'm barely really following that.
So you're at the Cubs today on a Friday. Oh, hopefully it's nice weather.
Yeah.
It's
Sounds
the seventh great. Inning stretch. It's time to sing. It's the highlight of the day. It's 2-1 Cubs over Arizona. Game is moving along pretty smoothly. You got the lead. This is a great time. Bottom of the eighth, it's now 13-11.
What?
So the Cubs got 5 in the seventh for a 7-1 lead. Arizona got 10 in the eighth. And the Cubs got 6 back in the bottom half of the eighth. So it's 13-11 Cubs in the bottom of the eighth, still batting.
Sounds like a great day in Wrigleyville. That escalated.
You know, that escalated. You want to leave? It's the seventh inning stretch. We'll stay for the song.
Right.
Let's just get out of here. Catch the train. You know, it's Good Friday.
I thought this was going to end up in someone tragically destroyed the song.
Oh, well,
that's where I thought you were going. You're enjoying a nice day. You mentioned the seventh inning. I'm like, oh, God, who sang?
Maybe
what happened?
Maybe the song was so amazing, good or bad, that pitchers have not been able to concentrate since that happened. I don't know. I don't know who sang today. 13-11 now at the end of eight. The Cubs left the bases loaded with 6 runs in to go back in front. What now? Arizona should score like 20 in the ninth?
That's what I'd be rooting for, sure.
Oh, yes. More chaos.
More old style. I'm just hanging out.
Next up, we'll recap the Sabres season, to some extent anyway, for a few minutes, with Paul Hamilton, who was down with the Sabres today as players packed up for the year. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus, free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.